It's 1 o'clock. I'd like to call the meeting of the Veterans and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee to order. Would you please all stand and we'll pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Representative Coulter, have you had a chance to read the minutes?
I sure have.
Would you like to move the minutes?
I haven't had a chance to review the minutes, and I move their approval.
Good. The minutes have been moved. All in favor of approving the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. We've got minutes. And we have the honor of having our minority leader here today, Representative Dimas. If you'd like to come forward and present your bill. Representative Demuth, I'll move your House File 1060 be referred to the House Tax Committee. And if you would like to go ahead and present your bill, please give your name for the record.
Thank you, Chair Newton and Committee. I am Representative Lisa Demuth, and it is my honor to present House File 1060 to the committee today.
Thank you. And I see you have a testifier, I believe.
I do. And I will go ahead and if I can go over the bill just briefly, and then I will introduce my testifier.
Please.
Thank you, Chair Newton. So House File 1060 would reopen the window for surviving spouses of disabled veterans to apply for the homestead property tax exclusion that previously had been lost when they reached the 8-year limit on the extension prior to the legislature making it permanent. Disabled veterans receive a property tax exclusion on their homestead property. If a disabled veteran dies, the surviving spouse would continue to receive the exclusion for up to 8 years after the death of the disabled veteran. In June of 2019, the 2019 tax bill that was passed removed that 8-year limit on the surviving spouse qualifying for the exclusion. It was the intent to have the lifetime benefit apply to every single surviving spouse, but the Department of Revenue interpreted the statute to exclude those whose 8-year benefit had expired between them reaching the 8-year limit and the effective date of the law making it permanent. So this bill would authorize the surviving spouses who had reached that 8-year term limit to the effective date of the exclusion becoming permanent to reapply for that benefit. The bill is retroactive to the assessment year of 2019, and the bill would also require the Department of Revenue to refund the overpayment of property taxes payable in 2020 through 2023 to the surviving spouses whose property was eligible for the exclusion. The bill would provide the undesignated general fund appropriation for this purpose. And that is kind of an overview of the bill, Mr. Chair, and I do have a testifier with me today.
Thank you, Representative Demuth. And, sir, if you would identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Chairman Newton. My name is Mick Aguirre, and I'm the Commander Task Force Chairman, and I'm the Commander for the Disabled American Veterans Department of Minnesota.
Good. And if you would like to proceed with your testimony, sir.
Yes, we'd like to thank the representative for bringing this bill forward. It took us a long time to eliminate the expiration date on this benefit for surviving spouses, and we are fully in support of HS 1060.
Good. Thank you. Does anyone have questions? Any members of the committee have any questions regarding this bill? This is one of two or three bills that will be addressing this issue that will be before us this session. So I personally think it's good, you know, that I also have constituents, Representative Demuth, who fell through the cracks on this, and it's not fair. So are there any questions? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify or come forward? Seeing none. I renew my motion that House File 1060 be re-referred to the House Tax Division. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting to vote. You know, I'm so used to the military just saying something and making it happen. All in favor of re-referring this bill to the Tax Committee, please say, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Good. Thank you. Now you're on your way. Thank you. And now we have Representative Farr. Good. Representative Farr, you have House File 656, and I will move that House File 656 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. If you would, Representative Farr, please introduce yourself for the record.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Representative Brian Farr, District House District 22B.
All right. And if you'd like to proceed with your proposal.
So, speaking of constituents slipping through the cracks, this bill is looking to fix that as well. This expands the veterans bonus eligibility pool to with two separate classifications, Inherent Resolve and the Kosovo Campaign Medal. So Inherent Resolve started in the 2014 timeframe, and depending on country is still continuing. The Kosovo Campaign Medal started in 99 and ended in December of 2013. So we're trying to pick up those two groups that we missed in the original veterans bill. On top of that, we're proposing a change in the language that said you have to have this in your DD-214 when you started. So what that means is that a Sioux Falls young man or lady that went into the military or Hudson, Wisconsin or something like that, that came back, lived in Minnesota for years and years and is a Minnesota resident now, wasn't eligible for the bonus, and so we're looking to change that as well. So those are the changes in the bill, and the funding portion of that is coming next, I think, with Representative Bennett's bill.
Good. Thank you, Representative Farr. And Mr. Johnson, if you'd like to identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Chair Newton, my name is Ben Johnson. I'm the Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Just wanted to tag along that the inclusion of the Inherent Resolve Campaign Medal and the elimination of home of entry at home of record at time of entry are included in the governor's recommended budget for this MDVA. And for this, for purposes of this bill, we are supportive of adding Inherent Resolve Campaign Medal as an eligible medal. It is indeed something that fell through the cracks, and those we have identified, we believe, at least 1,300 Minnesota Guard members who would have had eligibility based on to the $1,200 bonus tier based on Inherent Resolve. And again, elimination of the requirement that someone have joined from Minnesota, we believe that broadly expands the capacity to serve current Minnesota veterans. And in this case, this is the only state-specific veterans benefit that excludes current Minnesota resident veterans from a benefit. So we believe striking the language requiring that the home of record at time of entry would benefit all those who currently call Minnesota home. And again, just for a brief update, this bill was passed last year and went live July 1st. And in the intervening 8 months, we have already received nearly 22,000 applications for this bonus. We have approved 18,337 as of last Friday, and have mailed checks from the state of Minnesota to these recipients in the total of $19.6 million. So there is a demand for this. We believe we can reach the commissioner's goal is to reach 85% of Minnesota veterans who would be eligible for this. So in addition to the additional opportunities for eligibility, the governor's budget includes $22 million in additional funding to make sure that we've got the ability to pay for all of those who are eligible and deserving of this bonus. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And I would hope that the department does as much outreach as they possibly can to reach that remaining 15% to make sure they get their bonus. I understand that Mr. Glarus also did. Does he still here? Did he want to testify? I know this is part of the commander's task force recommendations. So, if you would like to come forward, sir, or if you don't think it's necessary.
I don't think so, Chairman Newton. Thanks for the opportunity, but I think Ben Johnson fulfilled all of your obligations to fulfill you in on our interest in this bill.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, and it is one of the recommendations of the commander's task force, and I think the Legion and VFW as well. So. Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question here. The $120,000 for this year, that's related, it says, to software updates and such. Is that just primarily because of now this would – because of that home of record change? Is that – I'm just curious why the software updates are needed related to this bill.
It says that it does.
Go ahead, sir. Yeah, so I don't have specifics on that, but I do know talking to CVSOs, we've had a tremendous amount of issues in terms of being able to identify people. And so I know there have been struggles with the software. I can't articulate exactly what those are.
Mr. Johnson.
Chair Newton, Representative Coulter, so the agency has primarily been utilizing a process by which applicants work with their county veteran service officers to apply online directly. I don't have the fiscal note associated with the increase. I know that it is within our operational adjustment for this program within the agency's overall budget. Currently, our education and employment team are the ones processing applications for the post 9/11 bonus. I don't have a fiscal note calling out an increase to that software, but generally speaking, the agency is seeking some pretty significant investments in our ability to process electronically applications such as this one.
Okay.
Okay. Representative Coulter, answer it for you.
Well, yeah. I guess I have the fiscal note right in front of me, and it says that approximately $120,000. For system software applications to process applications. So it's not time critical, but if somebody could maybe get back to me with more information about that, I think I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Are there any other questions or anyone in the audience who would like to come down and testify? Seeing none, House File 656 is before us. All in favor of moving the bill for possible inclusion? Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Good. Colonel Farr, you're on your way. Now we have Representative Bennett. Good afternoon, Representative Bennett.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If Representative Bennett, if you would like to introduce your bill and move it.
Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment. Shall I do that first?
Let's move the bill, and then we'll do the amendment.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 112.
Good. Okay. So House File 112 is before us, and if you would... explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my amendment simply replaces the undesignated funding amount, the appropriation, with the $22 million FY24 or 2024 appropriation that's contained in the governor's budget recommendations. And just to let our committee members know, Mr. Chair, that a fiscal note did come back with some additional costs, but I think we can just work that out later.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Bennett. So if you would, present your bill, and then we'll move forward.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So House File 1112 just provides the funding to complete the funding need so that every veteran under the current eligibility criteria will receive the bonus that he or she deserves. And as we heard in testimony just prior to this with Representative Farr's bill, there's approximately, I believe, 15% of veterans who qualify and they're eligible, but they were not able to get funding because the funding wasn't there. So this simply adds the funding that's recommended, and I do have a testifier.
Good, thank you, Representative. And is it Ms. Hill?
Yes, sir.
Yes, if you would identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Rachel Hill, and I am an Air Force veteran and a Gold Star spouse. To give a little background about myself, I spent most of my childhood growing up in Moorhead before moving out of state for my dad's job. I enlisted right out of high school in 1997 and met my husband, Jeff, shortly after while we were both in tech school. In 2010, Jeff was killed in the line of duty when his C-17 went down during a training mission in Alaska, which is where we were stationed at the time. After his death, I chose to move back to Minnesota to be closer to family with my two young sons. In regards to the post 9/11 bonus, I am currently excluded as it discriminates against active duty veterans by stating that the veteran must be a current Minnesota resident and that their home of record when they entered military service is a Minnesota address, which mine is not. While Guard and Reserve veterans are likely to sign up and remain in Minnesota, this is generally not the case with active duty veterans, because active duty veterans are often sent around the world, stationed anywhere, and choose to make Minnesota a home after their service. But the state tells them this doesn't count because they didn't enter service from here. No other veterans benefit in Minnesota is based on whether they entered service from Minnesota or a different state, as was mentioned before. Our state has no such residency requirements for any other programs. We don't restrict benefits because someone was born in a different state. I presently qualify for the Minnesota GI Bill as a veteran. I was on active duty on 9/11, as well as multiple years after. I had an honorable discharge. I received the Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, but yet I don't qualify for the post 9/11 bonus because I entered active duty from Ohio, which as an 18-year-old kid graduating high school was honestly beyond my control. I spent most of my childhood in Minnesota. I returned after my husband was killed to raise my kids here close to my family. I pay taxes. I work to support Minnesota veterans. I volunteer in my community. And I do what I can to make Minnesota successful. But according to the specifications of the post 9/11 bonus as it currently reads, I'm not a valued veteran in the eyes of the state that I have always claimed as home. This is not what I believe Minnesota stands for. And that said, I ask that you consider amending the post 9/11 bonus and fund it as needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Any further words of advice?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if I have advice, but I just would first thank you for hearing this. And secondly, we can see the need to not only expand to get in some of these groups who should be eligible, but also make sure the funding's there so that they can all receive their bonuses. And thank you for your service and sorry for your husband's death. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Bennett. And I think, you know, this is one of several bills that we had that are just cleaning up things that we didn't accomplish before. And it's time that we address this and take care of it. So thank you, Ms. Hill, and thank you, Representative Bennett. And with that, if you'd like to renew your motion to move the bill to the General Register, no. To be laid over for possible inclusion.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All in favor of moving this for further inclusion? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, good. Thank you. Let's see, Representative Hudala.
Can I do a handout, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
With it? Okay. Pass those around. Thanks.
Well, we were struggling with the cold. Representative Hudala was in Florida, folks.
When I arrived Thursday, it was 100 degrees warmer than it was on Wednesday here. So I'm shocked.
Okay. Representative Hudala, we have House File 986. If you would like to move that, please.
If I could, so move, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so this bill will go also, this will bill actually will go to the Transportation Committee. So please present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before I begin, members, I just wanted to talk quickly, if you look at the handout, about a 100% service-connected disabled veteran that I know. I think a lot of times we sit in these committees and we look at fiscal notes and we look at bill language, but I think it's important to remember that all of the things that we do, there's faces and names and real people attached to those. So this picture that you're seeing before you is a friend of mine, a retired staff sergeant named Gabe Hernandez. Gabe served two tours in Iraq, and he was blown up on each tour. His first tour in Iraq, hit an IED, significantly injured, went home, went to Walter Reed, back to his unit, rehabilitated, and about a year later, he went back for another tour from 18 months from the time that he was blown up the first time he was back in Iraq. The second explosion, the second IED that they hit, killed every member of his fire team that was in the vehicle with him. If you look at the picture of the Humvee where the roofs exploded, Gabe was the only one that survived, and he was left with a tremendous amount of survivor's guilt, to the point that as we became friends, I met him through my other job. As we became friends, he started to confide in me about some of the PTSD challenges that he was having, to the point where he was having thoughts of killing his entire family because he had felt like he had become such a burden to them with his disabilities. So Gabe's doing a lot better now, but when we talk about the bill that I'm presenting here, our 100% disabled veterans go through a tremendous amount of sacrifice that never stops until the day that they pass. And I think it's important to remember that. And in all of those disabilities were done for us. So when I present House File 986, in my opinion, it's a small thank you that we can do for the folks like Gabe and his family that have given a significant portion of their lives, both physically and mentally, so that we can all sit here as free individuals. So with that, Mr. Chair, the story's over. I'll talk about the bill for just a minute and then turn it over to my testifier. So the bill relates to a number of transportation-related taxes so that our 100% disabled veterans can be excluded from any of the fees that we pay. It's things like registration tax, motor vehicle sales tax, driver's license fees, license plates, and titling fees. Pretty self-explanatory. We all have the summary on it. But I'm excited. I'm excited for an opportunity to be able to say thanks in a big way to a very small demographic of our heroes here in Minnesota, and I think it's the right thing to do.
Thank you, Representative Vidal. Do we have a fiscal note on this? Have you seen one?
Mr. Chair, we have a dated one. We're waiting on the current fiscal note. It's around $200,000 as far as financial impact for the state.
Okay. Thank you. And I see Mr. Aguirre is here for if you would reintroduce yourself. And
thank you, Chairman Newton. Again, I'm Mick Aguirre. I'm a chairman of the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the 8 recognized service veteran service organizations in the state of Minnesota. Also, I'm the commander of the Disabled Veterans of Minnesota, Disabled American Veterans. I am 100% compensation from the VA because of Agent Orange, and I was at Camp Lejeune where they poisoned the water. So I got 2 strikes, but on this bill here, the DAV strongly supports relieving our most severely disabled veterans from fees and taxes where we can. These are service members who have paid a high price for their service and who are likely unable to work and who likely rely solely on a fixed income from the VA disability to take care of their families, spouses, and who else, and to meet their needs. Any relief we can provide them will be greatly appreciated.
Okay,
thank you, Chairman.
Yeah, Newton. Thank you. Are there any questions? Does anyone have any questions on this at all? It is going to transportation, where I think you get more of a grilling. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify? Seeing none, would you like to renew your motion, Representative Udello, on House File 986?
Yes, Mr. Chair, if I could renew, it sounds like it would move to transportation.
That's correct. Okay, thank you. All in favor of moving House File 986 to the Transportation Committee, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Thank you. Now we have Representative Weems, yes. House File 985.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Representative Weems, if you'd like to introduce yourself and then introduce your bill.
Yes, sir. Or yes, Sergeant Major. Representative Mark Weems, 41 Alpha is my district. I'm here to request movement on House File 985 to the Transportation Committee upon approval.
Good. Thank you, Representative Weems. If you'd like to explain your bill, please.
Yes, Sergeant Major. Or Mr. Chair. This bill is, like many others, that denotes a special license plate, this for the Civil Air Patrol. The reason we've chosen the Civil Air Patrol is they're an active membership of about 1,500 folks, senior members as well as junior members, that have an auxiliary relationship with the U.S. Air Force, which is chartered by the U.S. government. In that, they have some missions, which include search and rescue and providing services to the homeland. It's a great organization for young people to grow and understand aerospace. And today I have a testifier, if I could introduce him.
Yes, please. And so this is Colonel Pryor. If you'd introduce yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Paul Pryor of the Civil Air Patrol, Minnesota Wing. I'm the Vice Commander at Minnesota Wing, and I'm here to testify today. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to talk first about why license plates for Civil Air Patrol, and I think numerous other states have Civil Air Patrol license plates already. We don't have those here in Minnesota. And this is an opportunity to offer CAP license plates to the members of Civil Air Patrol Minnesota as a way to acknowledge their volunteer service, and that's important, volunteer service. We're all volunteer. Civil Air Patrol license plates will generate some revenue for the state, of course, and nearly every Minnesota legislator is a member of Civil Air Patrol's Minnesota Legislative Squadron, so bipartisan support for this should be reasonable, my estimation. Nearly every Minnesota legislator is a member, and Minnesota has a military honor plates category with several subcategories. For example, Iraq veteran plate, Vietnam veteran plate, Pearl Harbor survivor plate, medal honor plate, proud to be a veteran plate. While Civil Air Patrol is not a veterans organization, it includes many veterans and is the Air Force auxiliary. Civil Air Patrol, who are we, what are we? We handed out the brochures there, that's from 2021. You'll see the Congressional Annual Report, and you'll also see our Minnesota Wing handout. So, what is Civil Air Patrol, who are we? We're 1,511 members in Minnesota today. That includes cadets and senior members. Cadets are 12. 18 years old, and adults are senior members. Civil Air Patrol is congressionally chartered, okay? It's a nonprofit organization. Civil Air Patrol is part of the total force for the United States Air Force, and we're the official auxiliary of the United States Air Force. Civil Air Patrol has three main missions: emergency services, aerospace education, and cadet programs. And I'd just like to detail those a little bit for you very quickly. Civil Air Patrol's cadet programs transforms youth into dynamic Americans, aerospace education leaders through a curriculum that focuses on leadership, aerospace, fitness, and character. Our emergency services performed for the nation, state, and local agencies and organizations. These true patriots make difference in their communities by assisting in times of disaster, searching for the lost, and protecting the homeland through Air Force assigned missions. Aerospace education, award-winning aerospace education activities promote aerospace, aviation, and STEM-related careers and engaging standards-based hands-on curriculum for youth in both Civil Air Patrol and outside, out to schools and out to business organizations and so on. There are 56,000 nationwide members, all volunteers in Civil Air Patrol, 56,000. Civil Air Patrol is America's premier all-volunteer public service organization for carrying out emergency services and disaster relief nationwide. Civil Air Patrol's mission for America are many, and today's adults and cadets perform their duties with the same vigilance as its founding fathers 80 years ago. Saving lives, as of today, Minnesota, as part of Civil Air Patrol in the United States has saved 28 lives in our fiscal year, October 1 to September 30th. 28 lives have been saved already this year, so nationwide. We have 1,500 communities where we have squadrons. Some are composite squadrons, adults and cadets, and some are just senior squadrons, and some are just cadet squadrons and schools and so on. 1,500 communities around the United States. So with that, I'd like to share a little bit more about that fact sheet that you have in front of you, because that is from 2021. So I have some updates for you on that. Let's see. We have Minnesota Wing Headquarters. Our maintenance facility is at South St. Paul Airport, Invergrove Heights, South St. Paul. Mission Aircraft Base is there. The Legislative Squadron at the State Capitol. When I say the majority of our people in the legislature are members, as of last year, 50 of the senators in Minnesota and 71 of the House representatives are members of the Legislative Squadron. 10 of our congressional members are members of Civil Air Patrol Legislative Squadron. So we do have 24 squadrons around the state of Minnesota, strategically placed all throughout the state. Far in the northwest, Crookston, far in the southwest, Pipestone, you know, Worthington, southeast Minnesota is like Rochester, Duluth in the northeast, all throughout the state, around the metro area, quite a few squadrons. We have 19 aircraft, powered aircraft. They're Cessnas with a high wing, so you can do search and rescue below the wing without obstruction. We have one Blanic glider. We have 25 vehicles that we use for search and rescue with ground teams. And we have 8 of these small unmanned aerial systems, quadcopters, if you might, that have infrared and so on. They can't, when an aircraft can't see through the tree canopy and the ground team can't get into a swampy area, we send in the quadcopter, the SUAV, so they can search for those. So that's kind of Civil Air Patrol, who we are, what we do. Do you have any questions?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just add.
Questions? Yeah.
If I can add just two other pieces of information, there's no net cost to this. The applicant will be paying for it with their plates. It's, I think, $1,350 for a motorcycle and $1,550 for two plates for an automobile or truck. Senator Julie Seeberger is carrying this bill in the Senate.
Good, good. Okay, does any of the members have questions at all? The audience, anyone in the audience? Good seeing none. Colonel Weins, if you'd like to renew your motion.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would, colleagues, I'd request your support for House File 985 to move to transportation.
Good. All in favor of moving House File 985, is it? Yes. To Transportation Committee, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Good, we're on a roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Bliss. Representative Bliss, if you would like to introduce yourself for the record and then proceed with introducing your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Matt Bliss, State Representative, and I'd like to motion this to go to the Commerce Committee. Make a motion.
This House File 665 to move to the Commerce Committee. Yes, if you would, Representative Bliss, go proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In 2018, I authored a bill putting some teeth into a law and making it more clear that it was illegal to do predatory lending practices to veterans and their spouses, to basically take their assigned veteran income and give them a short-term loan with really high predatory rates. And it was a good bill. It seems that there was a typo or just an oversight on the bill. And it's a one-word change. I'm going to let Mr. Elwood explain that very complicated change.
Okay. Mr. Elwood, please identify yourself and then proceed with the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Brian Elwood with Legal Aid, and I really want to thank Representative Bliss not only for bringing this bill, but really more importantly for bringing the 2018 bill, which was in my 25 years here at the legislature representing consumers. Perhaps one of the most important consumer protection bills that I've been associated with, and it was a privilege to work with Representative Bliss in 2018. You know, of course, as attorneys, we look through the laws with fine-tooth combs, and I'm probably the only person in the state who noticed this. But I did work with Representative Bliss on the remedy piece in 2018 and noticed that the intent of the bill was to provide all the remedies available, both monetary compensation and other types of relief, such as a rescission of the contract or injunctive relief. Unfortunately, somehow along the line, the and became an or. And we're just switching back the or to an and that's as simple as this bill is. I have to say that we have not heard of any situations where a victim of this predatory practice that this bill was intended to address has had to choose one or the other. That hasn't come to our attention. I don't know if that's ever happened, but it hasn't come to our attention. But I don't think that means we shouldn't fix it and make the original intent the actual language of the bill, and that's it. And again, I really want to thank Representative Bliss and Chair Newton for their support on this technical change.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood. Does anyone have any questions on this bill? Well, seeing none, Representative Bliss, if you'd like to move the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Show my age a little bit. I don't know if anybody else had the Conjunction Junction song running through Mr. Elwood's presentation, but I'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. So with that, Representative Bliss renews his motion to that House File 665 be re-referred to the House Commerce Committee. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, good. So there we go. And now we're going to do something a little unusual. We're going to have an informational hearing on a bill that you're seeing for the first time. We're not going to take action on the bill, but because we have someone who traveled quite a distance to come down here to testify on this bill, I thought we should let Representative Bennett present her bill, explain it, and then we'll have the testifier also make his testimony. So, Representative Bennett, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it and appreciate your flexibility here. We have an esteemed testifier, a Purple Heart recipient. Thank you for being here, who didn't get the communication that we had swapped bills, so I appreciate this. simple bill, kind of very similar to the license plate bill we heard just earlier, that the commissioner may issue personalized license plates for Purple Heart Medal recipients. And I think my testifier will be able to explain further.
Good. Thank you, Representative Bennett. And, sir, if you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
My name is William Bull. Last name is spelled B-U-L-L. I am the finance officer for the Military Order of the Purple Heart Department of Minnesota.
Good.
So I do make it down here. We have an office over in the Veterans Service Building where we do some limited communications with everyone. I guess our main focus on this change in the Purple Heart license plate is to enable more Purple Heart recipients to get that license plate. I know it's not a huge financial burden, but the importance of that license plate identifies that Purple Heart recipient as a very honored person, someone who has shed blood for his or her country. Here in Minnesota, I have had the opportunity to have young children. It seems like some parents are using myself and other veterans as a learning opportunity to see me putting groceries in the car and seeing the license plate and having their young child, elementary age, sometimes middle school age, come over and thank us for our service and thank us for committing to our country that time during a war where we would happen to be wounded. I just would like to convey that importance to you as to this license plate and what it means here in this state.
Thank you, Mr. Will, and thank you for coming down, and thank you for serving our Purple Heart veterans. I have to say it's really nice when you go to a place like Hy-Vee and some of the other shopping places and you see parking spaces reserved for Purple Heart recipients. So if any of you have any questions, please refer them to Representative Bennett. We will hear this bill next Monday, I believe. Okay. Well, it might go directly to transportation. We'll discuss that, Representative Bennett. So, and good luck with that. with that, if there's any other business to come before the committee, does anyone have anything at all?
We have another bill.
Is there another bill?
No. So, why do I have another bill? That's what we just talked about.
Yeah.
This
mm-hmm.
is it.
Yep. This is it.
No, there are no other
did
bills.
I get two copies of them? No, I did.
Yeah, so that wraps up the committee. We are adjourned until next Monday.